This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Live and Learn, and I'm Lee Chui Lin. The Association of Voices of Peace, Conscience and Reason, or PCOR for short, together with the University of Malaya's History Department, are organizing a forum on the relevance and significance of studying history coming up on October 22nd at University of Malaysia's campus. PCOR President Dato' Halimah Syed is here today to talk about the role of history in nation building. Dato' Halimah, welcome to the show.
Hello. I'm pleased to be here.
So you call PCOR a multicultural citizen movement. Tell us a little bit about it and the work that it does.
Right. It was actually founded in 2010 when a group of us on Facebook friends, decided that we needed a platform to actually promote peaceful voices, because there was a lot of dissenting voices out there, even at that time in 2010. It had started after the elections, you know. So we thought we needed a platform, and we needed to remind people to talk in a peaceable way and to exercise their conscience and good reasoning capacities and so on. So that was the start. We had an inaugural forum in November of 2010, very successful. And we had, panel speakers, including people like Chandra Muzaffar, Lim Tek Gee. And we persuaded Raja Zaris Sophia, at that time she was the wife of the Tunku Mahkota, to be our patron. In fact, she was our main inspiration, because she was a Facebook friend and she had inspired this movement. And she reminded us always, it's ripples, not waves. She said, we're not there to create a tsunami, but it's a peaceable penetration of people's minds and people's hearts. So that's how we came about.
And what specific issues were you hoping to address with PCOR?
Right. Mainly it was a platform for discourse, to spread thinking and talk about issues of national concern. But in the course of defining the four objectives, we decided to identify 10 areas of concern. And the 10 areas of concern actually span the gamut of national concerns. Things like, national integration and unity, justice and, legal, status and justice, uplifting the status of the underprivileged. And we've got a very big component on our promotion of language and communication, because basically I'm a linguist. I worked at the University of Malaya for 25 years as a linguist and a translator and interpreter. So that's my pet area. And I think that's also the pet area, or an area of great concern in the country, the promotion of good, levels of proficiency in both Bahasa Malaysia and English, except that my area happens to be English language and literature. So, and then we have preservation of natural culture and heritage, good neighborliness and networking. So, in fact, this, Merdeka celebration, Merdeka Day, I joined a group of neighbors, community in SS 18, Subang Jaya, and we had this lovely gathering of the neighborhood. And we had this little celebration, and YB Hanayo was the guest of honor. And it was so nice, after all the formalities, we did the Zumba together and all that. So that's a kind of community networking that PCOR is trying to encourage. Right. So, but for the first 3 years or 4 years, 3 years, we focused a lot on public platforms, forums and talks. Platforms, conferences and things like that, which is all documented in this book that we put together. The book was launched. Its title is Voices for Peace. And it was launched by Raja Perempuan, or Tuanku Permaisuri Johor, she's now called, Raja Zaris Sophia, on the 19th of April recently. So the book comprises three parts. The first part is a documentation of our activities, and then keynote addresses by key people, including, you know, YB Khairi Jamaluddin, Idris Jala, and whom and Paul Lau, whom we had invited as keynote speakers. So their speeches are compiled in part one. And then we had, I'm proud of this one, because Professor John Kwa is a very, he's played a great role in anti-corruption movement in Singapore. And he's done a study of 10 Asian countries, the anti-corruption models in these countries and so on. So we got him to come for our anti-corruption forum. And he gave a key paper, not quite keynote address, but a plenary. And it's all here. A long paper, but a very significant paper.
Why did you find it important to compile all the different activities and basically all the work that you've been doing into this book?
It's like a door opener now, you know. We had a Facebook page, and we even, you know, we didn't think that a web page was necessary, too expensive, and then, you know, all the fuss about putting it together and so on. So we just open a PCOR page. You can enter it if you want. And, you know, we documented all our videos, our speeches, our photographs there. So after a while, we thought it was time for PCOR to have the first publication. And we worked on it for just 6 months. 6 months of hard work, you know, putting this thing together, editing, vetting, and so on, and inviting, it's in three parts. The first part is on this reports and keynote addresses. Second part, we invited 20 prominent scholars, activists, even Lillian Tu's article is there. And the theme was balance and harmony. So peace and unity, balance and harmony. So 20 people wrote on different aspects of balance and harmony. In Islam, mizan is a concept of balance in Islam, and there are two articles on that. And then we had environment, and Professor Ng Kar Meng of Oxford University wrote something on balance in music. You know, he's in town now. You should interview him. Anyway, and then the last part, part three, was a compilation, or is a compilation of short articles by the members. 19 members wrote about their real feelings for Malaysia and how they hope Malaysia will become a better place.
And now you're also putting together this forum, the study of history, its relevance and significance. What is the relevance and significance of studying history? I mean, is it something we can sum up in this conversation?
I think so. But first, I'd like to say that this forum is inspired by one of the articles there by Professor Lee Kam Heng. And Tun Ahmad Saji, who wrote the foreword for the book, was very impressed with Professor Lee's article. And he motivated us. He said, you can't let it go just like that. He said, you must call all the stakeholders that have a stake in the history, in teaching of history, the learning of history, research in history, and so on, and bring them together at a conference, at a forum. So that was like, you know, 1 week after the launch of the book in April. And from then onwards, we decided to go straight into this organization of this forum. So, you know, Professor Lee was with us from the start. And then we thought a good collaboration would be with the History Department of University of Malaya. I was an undergraduate there. And Professor Lee Kam Heng was my first tutor. So it's easy to work with people that you know, you know?
People you've known for a long time, yeah, if anything. Yeah.
He's a friend, you know?
So how did you expand on the theme? I mean, it began with the article. How did it expand into the forum that it is now and the speakers that you sought out for these topics?
Right. The article, you know, focused on the school curriculum and how there is unhappiness with the content of the school curriculum, and how there is a bias, a Malay-centric bias, in many of the syllabi for the different years, Form 1 to Form 5. And In fact, there have been a few forums, and Helen Ting has written quite considerably on the unhappiness, yeah, the bone of contention with the school curriculum, history school curriculum. So we decided that that would be like a focus, because we didn't want to seem so aggressive about pursuing the CDC, you know, the Curriculum Development Committee, and the MOE, the Ministry of Education, that formulated the history curriculum and syllabi. So we didn't want to seem like, you know, we were after them. So we decided to broaden the scope somewhat, and we decided to call it The Study of History in General, Its Relevance and Significance. And one of the panels, Session 2 panel, is specifically on Session 2 and Session 3 is on the school history curriculum, techniques of learning, methodology, and things like that. And then we have other broader issues. Yeah. So I'd like to just, insist, or rather explain, that it's not totally on the school curriculum. That's just part of this general discussion on history.
I'm speaking today with Datuk Halima Said, who is the president of PCOR, the Association of Voices of Peace, Conscience and Reason. And we're talking about an upcoming forum titled The Study of History, Its Relevance and Significance. Up next, we find out about the reactions from the Malaysian Historical Society and the National Archives of Malaysia, who are supporting the forum. And we're curious, you know, what the initial reactions were like. You are listening today to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. You are listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture. I'm Lee Chui Lin. My guest today is the president of the Association of Voices of Peace, Conscience and Reason, or PCOR, Dato' Halima Said. And she's here today to talk about the role of history in nation building, as well as, or rather, you know, in conjunction with an upcoming forum titled The Study of History. Now, this forum is supported by the Malaysian Historical Society and the National Archives of Malaysia. What were their initial reactions to a forum like this, and how are they supporting you?
Yes, I visited Persatuan Sejarah Malaysia first, mainly because I know the treasurer, Datuk Jumaat, and I also know the president, Tan Sri Omar Hashim. And they were most supportive and most they were forthcoming. They were forthcoming. But they reminded me that they had actually organized a forum similar to the one that we're organizing, but the only thing is that they didn't have such a broad range of speakers. They had the same historians like Dr. Lim Teck Gee and Professor Ramlah Adam, and the textbook writer Dr. Ranjit. They had invited them and they came. But apparently it was not such a congenial, it didn't have such a congenial outcome. But they were very happy that we were organizing, we were going to organize this forum, and said they were fully behind us. So their role would be, I think they're sending one of their members, Datu Haji Sanip Haji Syed, he's now in Sarawak, he's coming. And he is moving from Session 5 panel to Session 2 panel. He's going to talk about the goals and objectives of school history. So that would be interesting. So Persatuan Sejarah Malaysia will be, funding Datu. He's not Datu, you know. It seems in Sarawak there is a title called Datu, D-A-T-U. And Dr. Haji Sanip is a Datu, so he's coming, you know, and he was formerly a lecturer in the history department of the University of Malaya. So they're all in the same fraternity. They know each other. So that's good. And he tells me, yesterday I got a message from him to say that he was delighted to be able to sit on the same panel as his mentor, Tan Sri Dr. Koo Kay Kim. So he's so honoured. right? So as far as, Archive Negara or Arkib Negara is concerned, we were actually advised by, Tun Sarji to get them to collaborate with us, to get Persatuan Sejarah Malaysia and Arkib Negara to collaborate with us. But I think they have other activities in store. So Arkib Negara has generously, offered to videotape the sessions, to document the reportering and to document the proceedings, and they will put it, they will store it in Arkib Negara. So that's a very good start indeed. And we're also getting these two agencies to set up a booth each. So Persatuan Sejarah Malaysia will set up a booth to promote its work and also its books, its publications, and Arkib Negara will be bringing their membership forms, because the public are not aware. They're not aware of the amount of data that is contained in Arkib Negara and how they can actually become members to work there, to collect data, historical data. But I was reminded by the DG of Arkib Negara that it's not for them to interpret history. They compile the data and store the data, but they do not interpret history for the public. So that is a good reminder.
When it comes to the relationship of interpretation, I mean, history is partly a discipline of interpretation. What do you think about the quality of our education for history here in Malaysia?
In fact, Lynn, I wrote a little piece. I was a columnist in The Sun for 2 years, and I wrote a little piece on objectivity in history. I don't think there can be absolute objectivity, because the historian who does the research and collects the data and then interprets it comes with a frame of mind. And he has his background, his past, his prejudices, his biases, and so on. So he comes to interpret this data with a ready frame of mind. So he will try his best to be objective. Most good historians will try to be objective. But there are some who, I think, knowingly, they want to be subjective about their interpretation of history. So that's the grey area there. And one of the panels, session 4 panel, deals with this issue: objectivity in research and writing of history. Can one be truly objective?
Well, how would you describe your relationship to the subject of history growing up? Growing up in our school system, growing up as somebody who did have these textbooks, how would you describe your relationship?
I had a good relationship, mainly because I had very good teachers and mentors.
So important, yeah.
Yeah. And it was an exploration of a kind. We did world history, we did British history, and we did Malaysian history. Malaysian history was a paper. And up to, in my first year, I studied history, and we did European history under Professor Pluvier, and then Kuke Kim was our lecturer for Malaysian history. So our command of history or our knowledge of history was broad. Whereas if you look at the history, Malaysian school curriculum, school history curriculum now, it's so narrow. It's been narrowed down to a great extent. And I think our students know no more than Malaysian history. World history, the Dark Ages and European history, all skimmed in a few paragraphs or a chapter. The focus is Malay-centric, Malaysian-centric. It's all about what's happening in Malaysia. So our students will emerge from it not as broad as we were, because of our broad education. They will be very insular and rather exclusive in their knowledge of history. Whereas one of the objectives of this forum is that we want an inclusive history. All right. Each ethnic group should be able to, focus on its narrative, its contributions to the country, to the country's history. And we should be able to engage one another. If there are points of dissension, we should be able to talk about it. If you think that Mat Kilau is not worthy of being called a hero, then there should be an open discussion. If we think Sibyl Kathiguisu should be included as a hero, an Indian hero, then we should be able to discuss it in a very civil manner. That's where Pequot's reason comes into the picture. We should be able to do things rationally with reason and so on.
We talk a lot about unity in our country. What role do you think history has in becoming a sort of rallying point for national unity, if you will?
It can play a huge role. I think this is what the forum is all about. We think that through the study of history in schools, among school children, among young people, they will get to know the country's history in a very fair way. All the activities of the past, the politics of the past is well represented and well discussed, and they will be able to savor for themselves, what unity meant in the days of our forefathers, in the days of Tunku Abdul Rahman and Tan Siew Sin and Tun Sambantan. All right, we talk about them all the time, and the young people will say, who are these people? We don't know them. So perhaps each of them should be given a rightful place in the history of, that we teach our students. Tunku Abdul Rahman is well known, but is Tan Siew Sin as well known? Tun Sambantan and all the other protagonists, are they well known? Perhaps not.
The starting point for our country's history has traditionally been the tale of Parameswara and the Malaccan Sultanate's founding. Should we go further back? I mean, where do we start?
Oh, I was confronted by an angry former ambassador who said that we should start with Ibn Khaldun, which is like Islamic history. But I think you have to be selective. For school history especially, you can't teach everything. Otherwise, it becomes itsy bitsy, right? So you have to be selective and make sure that it is coherent. It is coherent. It develops from one focus to another in a very storytelling kind of way. After all, it's a narrative, right? So the parts of the narrative must connect. And the students, the young people should see this connectivity and be able to relate it to the present, which is politics. Actually, history is politics, past politics of the country. But I was reminded very abruptly that history is more than politics. It's also the history of the Rubber Research Institute, the history of technology, the history of science in the country, tin mining. So there are different aspects of history. But if you're talking about political history, British colonialism, Malacca Sultanate, after that, the British intervention, the Dutch and so on, that will be political history, right?
What are you hoping will come out of the forum, with all these discussions, with all these ongoing discussions, with all these conversations that we should be having and now we might get to have at the forum? What are you hoping will be the outcome?
I'm not hoping for waves or tsunamis. As I said earlier, we hope to create ripples of discourse, which will develop into, more ripples and influence more minds. But a concrete outcome is that we hope to submit our recommendations and a report to the Ministry of Education and other stakeholders. So that is the physical outcome, the main outcome. But there are this thing that we're going to create. One of the objectives is to help initiate a regular forum to discuss issues and concerns raised in the teaching, learning of history. So we hope that this forum will achieve that to some extent.
Overall, looking at, it's a big milestone, 5 years. You have a book, you have kind of this very physical proof of all the things that you've done over the last few years. Are you satisfied with the progress that Peace Corps has made?
Very much so, Lynn. Because this book, this publication is opening doors for us. We were a little known entity. You know, we had friends, and I always resort to my friends to support me. But now people are seeking us out. You know, where Peace Corps is involved in this other thing, which I will get BFM to to cover shortly. It's called Dialogue Rakyat. And our special focus is national cohesion and unity. And we're working with 7 other civil society movements. Our secretariat is at USLI, and we're moving ahead, and we hope to have this dialogue in early August, on the 3rd of December. So this will mobilize, the Rakyat into working for national cohesion and unity. Surprisingly, many, many groups are working on it, Lynn. Youth groups as well as, senior groups and so on. But I think it'll be nice if we mobilize the movement into a Rakyat, Dialogue Rakyat. So I think the force will be greater and the impact will be greater and the influence will be greater. We hope to come down strongly on those people out there who resist us.
Moving forward, is that what you're looking to do more of with Peace Corps, with more dialogues, more forums and so on?
More work on the ground. Okay. More work on the ground. Because as I said earlier, the first 3 years were like forums, discussions and so on. But now we're penetrating the community. And we've started that, actually. One of our projects is English in Harmony Camp. That was started in 2012. And we went into the schools to integrate the students from the 3 schools, Sekolah Kebangsaan, Sekolah Jenis Cina, and Sekolah Jenis Tamil. We brought them together, and through English, we got them and their teachers to engage one another. So that I consider one of Peace Corps' most successful community work. Yeah, with young people, with students.
And finally, to close off, for people who've been listening throughout the interview and catching mentions of the forum here and there, let's just close off by, why should people go for this forum? Why should people attend?
They should attend because, or we should attend, we should be very interested because we're all stakeholders as parents, as teachers, as community leaders, as historians, of course, as officials in the ministry, we should all come forward and give our views on what we want the history teaching and learning to be in order to build this nation that we love so much. Because I think we all agree that through history, we can actually, tell, people what Malaya was all about before and what Malaysia is now. So through this understanding and this knowledge and this huge information bank, we'll be able to tap people's brains, brain pick, as well as come together to offer our input into the discussion and to take away from it. The teachers will learn new technology, techniques of teaching, methodologies, because they say that so boring. The students in school think history is the most boring subject. They don't want to learn it because the methodology used in schools is outdated. So we have to update that as well.
The study of history, its relevance and significance will be held on Sunday, October 22nd.
Saturday, Lynn.
Saturday, pardon me. Will be held on Saturday. And is that October 22nd?
Yes.
Okay. At University Malaya's Lecture Theatre A. Dato' Halima, thank you for coming in.
Thank you so much, Lynn and BFM. Thank you.
I've been speaking today with Dato' Halima Syed, who is the president of Peace Corps, the Association of Voices of Peace, Conscience and Reason. And we've been discussing the study of history, both in terms of it being a subject to talk about as well as a forum. You are listening today to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.